This is HPR episode 2015 entitled, Linux in the Church. It is hosted by First Time Host Joe, and is about 19 minutes long. The summary is, how I'm using Linux for many of my projects at church.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio family. Joe Cellino here. This is my first recording for Hacker Public Radio. Just finished listening to a recording on how someone recorded their band on Linux. And so it got me thinking. I've been using Linux for quite a while. Been doing a lot with it at my church. And I thought maybe this would be helpful for others. So let me introduce myself. I'm Joe Cellino. I live in upstate New York. I am an evangelical Christian, which might be a little foreign to listeners, especially those in Europe. But I lived quite a crazy life up until the age of 30, and decided that I needed something deeper to guide my life, and so I jumped into faith in Christ, and haven't looked back since. Best decision I've ever made. You know, you don't have to park your brain at the door when you believe in God. There's many good sites out there I would suggest for those of you who are skeptical of God or faith. A couple of them would be Reasons to Believe, Science Perspective on Faith, Reasonable Faith. That's a philosophical ministry that really has probably thousands of articles and great podcasts on philosophical understanding of the world today and faith. Stand to Reason. Many sites out there for those who are open-minded and would like to look into how faith can really be a thoughtful way to live your life. But anyway, let me get on to the subject at hand. I wanted to discuss how I've been gently introducing my church to Linux. I've been using Linux since the, I would say, late 90s. I started out with Mandrake Linux. It was the only distro I could get to recognize most of my hardware on my computer. And I really, really enjoyed Mandrake. That was an awesome distribution. The only problem I had with it was Lilo would bork itself every once in a while, and I couldn't boot it. And so Mandrake had an option to create a floppy disk, emergency boot floppy disk. And that was great, because I would keep three or four of those in my desk drawer, and whenever Mandrake wouldn't boot, I'd just throw that in, and I could boot back into it. And that was great. I tried Red Hat, I think, back in late 90s also, and that was also Lilo boot. Grub really was a great way to boot later on. I didn't use Linux exclusively at that time. I just couldn't use it regularly and reliably because of hardware issues and all that. But as soon as Ubuntu came around, I jumped right on Warty Warthog back in, I think that was 2005. And from that time on, I never looked back. I, ditched Windows and exclusively used Linux. Enjoy Linux. Let me confess, I am not a coder. I am not a a hacker in the traditional sense, but I love hardware. I love tearing down computers. I love anything digital, playing around with digital creation and stuff like that. So Linux just fit me like a glove, and I love it. Unfortunately, in my present situation, I'm a technical director at my church. Windows is just a way of life in most churches, and so I've had to learn to accept that, and I do use Windows at church, but as I said earlier, I'm gently introducing Linux to my church family and to my tech team, and haven't really run into any pushback. I use Linux Mint, Mate version, Cinnamon, both of those, and I set it up so that it, the desktop looks so much like Windows as far as the GUI, using it. Keep the start menu down at the bottom, and I just kind of set it up so that everybody is familiar with the whole paradigm of the old GNOME days with the start menu at the bottom and applications on the desktop, stuff like that. So that hasn't been a problem. Some of the things that I'm using Linux for at church, I started out by using it as just a backup computer. We'd store all our files on there. And then we moved out of the analog world on our soundboard and moved into the digital world by purchasing a Behringer X32. Let me just say, for those of you who are into sound production, the Behringer X32 is an awesome board for the price. I'm kind of late to the world of sound. I just got into it in my later years as a volunteer at church, and then gradually learned more because I was just so into it. And the analog world was very foreign to me. It was very difficult to learn the operation of the board. We had an old Mackie that we used. And when we purchased the Behringer X32 with motorized faders, layered channels, all kinds of good stuff, digital recording, all that, it was a lot easier for me to use the Behringer board because it was basically a giant computer. I mean, it operated very much like a computer. It all has all its onboard effects right there on the board. So we didn't even need our outboard effects units anymore. So I really enjoyed the X32, and it really motivated me to learn a lot more about sound. Let me make a plug for a fellow who's put a lot of tutorials on YouTube, Drew Brashler. Really awesome videos he puts up there about the X32 and how to operate. I learned quite a bit from him, so there's a shout out to Drew. Thank you for all those video tutorials you produce. So anyway, next, as we started experimenting with multi-track recording, and when we would want to record our band's rehearsals or even some of the services, worship services, I started out trying with Ardour on Linux on my laptop, just coming in with off the board on an analog plug-in, but the results were not very good. And with the board, the X32, came a software package called Traction, and we installed that on our Windows computer. That works very well. I later found out by just kind of doing a little research that Traction is... I believe it's Linux. It's open source software, but it's sold. It's sold for Windows, but Behringer gives it away free when you buy an X32. So when I researched the Traction software on their website, I realized that they gave away the Linux version. They don't make it actually very easy to find it on their website, and you don't get the latest version, but they do give away the Linux version of Traction. And I highly recommend it. It's good software for doing multi-track recording. It's a different GUI than like Pro Tools or some of the others, but it's fairly intuitive, easy to get a handle on. And so we use that at church and I've installed it on Linux, and works fine. Use Jack Control Kit to as the background driver, and works well. Also, we record our sermons through the Behringer X32. It has built-in two-track USB. When we're done recording, I just throw that recording on our Linux box in Open Audacity and edit it, mix it down to MP3, and use a great plugin in Firefox to upload through FTP to our servers. I think it's Fire FTP is what I use. A great little piece of software. When we have people come in and ask for a CD of the sermon, we used to exclusively use CDs and burn all our sermons to CDs. And now, since we've gotten the X32, it does have the USB recording, which makes things much easier. And but we do have people that still want CDs. So I use Bracero on Linux to burn them CDs. Works very efficiently, can burn them a CD very quickly. Also, in the church environment, when people walk in, you have a little bit of time before service starts. So we like to play a little walk-in music, you know, 5-10 minutes before service starts and the band starts playing. We will use VLC, or normally we'll use Clementine. Beautiful media player. I really like Clementine. It did have some issues with memory leak early on when I first started using it, but I haven't noticed that lately, so I believe they worked that out in the newer versions. But Clementine's a great piece of software. I enjoy it, and we use that to play back music that I've ripped to my computer. I'll use a CD player sometimes, but usually I'll use the computer to play back walk-in music, soft music playing in the background as people walk in. Now, one thing I failed to mention, when I edit the sermons, before I upload them to our servers, I do tag them with a piece of software called Puddle Tag, one of many tagging pieces of software out there, very easy to use. I haven't gotten into some of the more detailed things you can do with it, but it meets my needs, works great. So I tag it, throw a picture on there of our church, upload it to the server, and then course, when it's downloaded, the sermon title, date, our pastor's name, and a picture of church is right there on the MP3 file. Recently, I was looking for a solution to broadcast our services live. I had played around with the idea of broadcasting our services over with video, doing the YouTube thing. But one thing I've seen is you don't really get a big bang for your buck doing that thing. There's not a whole lot of people that take advantage of a video feed in a mid-sized church such as ours. And so it's a lot of work for little gain, actually. So I decided to go with the sound, live sound. I didn't want to incur any costs to the church, so I had known of IceCast. I had tried it on my own computer at home a couple of years ago, and found that it was fairly easy to use. Like everything else in Linux, you know, it's a file. Everything works in a configuration file, and like I said, I'm not a coder, but you know, I can work configuration files and a few bash scripts and stuff like that. But anyway, I had tried Dark Ice, some of the other pieces of software that go along with IceCast to broadcast, and I found a nifty piece of software called Butt, B-U-T-T, broadcast using this tool. The guys at church got a kick out of that acronym there. And anyway, Butt is a very nice piece of software that goes along with IceCast to take your live feed and stream it to IceCast out to the internet. And it's working wonderfully for us. I spent about 2 or 3 weeks with a dry run, asking people to just listen in, let me know how the quality was, and if over a 2 or 3 week period, I would kind of tweak things here and there. We have it running just fine now. We don't have a whole lot of listeners, but I'm sure As people find out about it, it'll be utilized more. Just another way of using Linux to expand the church's resources and ministries and help move the church out of the proprietary software mindset. Like I said, we still use Windows. One of the things we have to use Windows for is ProPresenter. That's a presentation piece of software exclusively for churches, and it's a great piece of software. Love it. Does a lot of things for you. You know, it presents your slides, gives you the ability to overlay images, present your lyrics, play videos seamlessly. With PowerPoint, which we were using previously, I had to re-encode every video I played back to WMV before I could play it in PowerPoint. It was a real pain. And now I can play just about any kind of video in ProPresenter. Unfortunately, like I said, it does run on Windows. There is open source presentation software out there, but ProPresenter is a great piece of software, so we're using that and enjoy it. I'm just about to start a new project that will be shooting videos. I've done some minor stuff to date, but we're going to be jumping into that in a bigger way. And for videos right now, for small projects, I use OpenShot. You know, it's sufficient. It's a nice piece of software. I don't really do a whole lot of video editing right now. I'll probably be learning how to do a lot more of that. I'll be doing more videos, so I'll need something probably a little more feature rich than OpenShot. But OpenShot's a good piece of software. It does the job. I've used Kden Live, and I think that's probably what I'll move to when I start doing more videos and need some more elements. But yeah, videos are going to be, I'm looking forward to doing those. They're going to be a great asset to our church and to encouraging people. So that's what that's about. Another thing that I've started doing is a podcast for our church. I went out and I picked up a $100 mixer, the Behringer Xenix Q1202 USB mixer. I like it. The only thing it doesn't do, it only lets you record two tracks over USB, and I wish I had looked more into that before I bought it. I would have liked to been able to you know, record at least four tracks, but if I record analog, I can do what I need to do. We've recorded quite a few podcasts now, exploring the connection between worship music and the act of worship. That was one of our themes. Also looking at volunteering, the aspect of volunteering in a church, the demands on people. Their lives are so busy now. How do they find time to volunteer? Why do they do it? Those types of things. Right now we're moving into a theme on leadership. I'm interviewing people about that aspect of church life and ministry. So it's been very fruitful. People have enjoyed it. We don't have a lot of listeners, but like everything else, if you stick with it, it will grow, it will expand, and it'll be fruitful. I truly believe that. And so we'll stick with it. That's about it. I found Linux to be a great asset to our church. People have not given me much pushback. They just use it. A lot of people don't even realize there's that much of a difference. Most people don't understand the whole philosophy behind the open source movement, free and open source. It's something that just doesn't enter their mindset. That's one reason I do like to use Linux, is the idea of free and open source. I'm not as ardent as somebody like, you know who I mean. You know, I do use proprietary software when I have to. So for me, it's more of a pragmatic thing. If I need something, I use it. But I prefer to use Linux. So thanks for listening. Hope you will consider some of the things I've said in the beginning of the recording. I hope that maybe some of the things I discussed about using Linux in church is helpful to you. And love Hacker Public Radio. Listen to it all the time. So hang in there and take care.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.